Father, as we open your word today, help me to be clear with my words and not to speak my own word, but to let it be truly from your heart. I pray that we can know you better from this experience together. We're grateful, God, that as we look up and down the valley, we haven't heard of any real casualties. There's been a lot of heartache, and there's been discomfort, but Lord, you are so good to care and cover each of us. Help us to never forget to love one another with your heart and to serve one another with the way that you would want us to serve. Help us to be your hands and feet and eyes and ears in this community right now, God, as we see people that are struggling and in pain or hurting for whatever reasons. God, help us to just love on them and reach into their lives in positive ways. Thank you for all the first responders that have been sacrificing their time. Many of them volunteers, and none of them are getting rich off of this. We're just grateful, God, that on this day of remembrance for first responders, 9/11, that we can recognize the local first responders and all that's going on even today, yesterday, and we're so grateful, God, that you lay on people's hearts the desire to help, the desire to serve, the desire to save communities, and we're grateful for that, God. Help us to have that same heart in a spiritual realm for your people that have not yet been reached. Amen. Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 29. If you're following along in the Pew Bible, it's on page 1533. It also will be up on the screen. So isn't it crazy that we can be in a building with no power and have a screen that can show us and lights, and some of the outlets work, and it's all good. And coffee. Yeah, and coffee is dripping right now and almost ready, right? It's getting close. When you see the dripping stop, you still probably want to wait a couple minutes for it to continue to drip through the filter. Patience, I know, it's hard. But it's going to be good. And you know, it's great that God has blessed us as a little church with the ability to help others. Kathy was excited to take pictures yesterday as she's over at Masonic Hall, and here's, you know, a couple that's working in one area and another person in another area, and everybody was just doing stuff trying to get things ready to serve the community and serve the first responders. And that's the heart of this church. It clearly has been for a long time, and days like yesterday kind of just give us more ability to demonstrate to others that God is good, and he can be good through us as well. So let's just enjoy, you know, don't pat yourself on the back as much as just praise God that he's enabled us. I mean, I know people younger than me that can't get up out of bed. Some of them in town here, you know, people that are on oxygen and don't have power to their little oxygen machines. And there's more than one I'm aware of in this community. And yet those things have been taken care of and dealt with. And so it's good that we can love one another. As I look at Mark chapter 4, verses 26 to 29, I've titled this effort. And I think oftentimes we as humans think if we just try harder, if we work harder, you know, we'll be able to get things done. And I want to give you a little bit of a permission to realize you put in the effort that you need to put in. That's all good, whatever. But it's really not up to us for the outcome. We can try our hardest, we can do our best, we can just wear ourselves out. We can stay up all night to try to keep the fire on the other side of the ridge. You know, there's all kinds of things we think that are necessary for us, and yet ultimately God's the one that's going to determine the outcomes. So it's not that we don't put in effort. I think effort's important, that there's real reason for effort. But then there's a point where, okay, we've done what our assignment was. We were assigned to do certain things, and we've done that. And let's just trust that everything else that needs to be done is going to get done by whoever else has been assigned, or by God's providence and grace. And you know, even like, you know, some of you guys have been in the military. It's like you're not responsible for the whole action. You're responsible for the part that you're responsible for. And even on a ship, you know, you're not responsible for the whole ship. You got to do what you got to do. And you know, if you've been assigned to do something, you better do that. But the rest of it is kind of out of your hands. You know, and maybe you can help each other with some things. Obviously, you know, if you see something, then you can step in and help out. But I think sometimes we work so hard on effort that we forget that the outcome is not our responsibility. And we forget that I could work twice as hard and get half the amount done. Because sometimes we push ourselves so hard that we're not really effective. And so as I look at this, it's just, you know, Jesus is telling parables. He's telling stories. And this one fits all on one little screen here. Mark 4, 26 to 29. He, Jesus, also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like." A lot of his parables are just trying to describe what the kingdom of God is like. "A man scattered seed on the ground." Period. Okay, there's the effort. He scattered the seed. "Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows." You know, once it's that action has been done, a lot of it is out of his control. Now we can think, okay, but if I go and pull weeds, but wait, there's stories about if you pull the weeds, you might pull up the good with the bad. And there's other stories. So you've got to be careful here. And we're just looking at, okay, in this story, this is what the kingdom of God is like. Somebody scattered seed.
Seeds are growing.
"And a man scatters seed on the ground, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how." That's okay, Joe.
Sorry.
Not a problem. So the seeds sprout and grow whether he knows about it and how it's done or not. And you know, farmers can kind of try to describe to you what's actually happening, and they can tell you a lot of stuff. You know, if you want to talk to Apple Bob about how apple trees grow, you can get a pretty good long rendition of what's happening there. And it's one of those things that you know, we can say, yeah, I have this understanding because I read enough science books and I know what's happening. But really, do we know? You know, God's the one that's making this happen. How many of us have planted seed and nothing happened? Okay? And you know, God's going to determine the outcome there. It's interesting to know that it's out of our hands at a certain point. And "All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe," that guy that scattered the seed, he puts a sickle to it because the harvest has come. So he's kind of got two assignments. He's going to plant and he's going to harvest. And it's important that both of those get taken care of and get done. The planting and the harvesting, both important. But everything that happened in between there, it's out of his hands. If you plant your garden and the conditions aren't right and something doesn't happen, it may not grow. It's interesting to watch how some things grow that you didn't even plant. Yeah. Where did this come from? We've got volunteers in the garden, you know, and it's kind of cool to just watch God's plan, God's system and how it works. I'm going to talk about a few other verses. It won't be real long, but Proverbs is one of those things that I look to. "A wicked person earns deceptive wages, but the one who sows righteousness reaps a sure reward." Why would I throw that in there? It's like this farmer scattering seed. Now, if he's scattering weed seed, what's he going to get? He's going to get a big harvest of weeds. If he's scattering seed that's going to produce a crop of fruit or wheat or whatever, it's going to give you something that's useful. He'll get something useful. It's the same thing in our lives. If we're going to be wicked and sow wickedness into the world, we're going to earn wages of destruction. If we sow righteousness, we're going to reap a reward. that there's cause and effect. So the effort that we put in, it's important too that as you're putting in the effort, you recognize who you're doing the effort for, where it's coming from, and who's the one that's going to bring it to fruition. In John chapter 12, it says, "Very truly I tell you," here's Jesus again with his words of wisdom, "unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed, but if it dies, it produces many seeds." I think if we try to hold on to our own effort, if we try to own everything that we're doing and be in control of all the outcomes, we're going to limit God's ability to make this even bigger and better. Too often it's like, okay, I know exactly what needs to be done and I'm going to make it happen. And we can go and break relationships with friends by forcing on them what we know they need. Or we can just, you know, try to find out, okay, Lord, what would you have me do in this situation? How do I plant a seed? And then determine that it's now out of my hands. I've done what I think I needed to do. And just let that seed germinate and grow. And, you know, sometimes it takes people a while to hear us. And if you try to force them to hear you that first meeting, you can break people and you can break relationships and you can mess things up. But if you just, you know, kind of like a Minnesotan say, well, if a guy, throw the suggestion out there and then just back off. It's not your responsibility anymore. You gave them the advice. They can take it or leave it. You know that if they take your advice, their life will be better, but they don't always. And that's kind of how we feel. But, you know, if we just even let our own effort die, sometimes we're going to recognize that there's more growth from us not trying to control it than there would have been from us trying to push that effort to the end. In Ecclesiastes, the preacher, he kind of has done a lot of observation in the world. One of the observations he throws out here, "When I applied my mind to know wisdom and to observe the labor that is done on earth," you know what labor that's done on earth? You know, people getting no sleep day or night because they're just, that's all they can do. They just work, 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 and they just don't know when to stop. "Then I saw," I don't even know what word that, somebody look that up. I've got a typo here. All, that makes more sense. The W and the A are near each other, sure. "Then I saw all that God has done." So it's like, you see, first of all, the work, the labor, the effort that individuals are putting in. They work so hard, they're not sleeping day or night. And then he sees what God has done. "No one can comprehend what goes on under the sun. Despite all their efforts to search it out, no one can discover its meaning. Even if the wise claim they know, they cannot really comprehend it." How many of us have turned on the radio or television and you know, stock market was really up one day or was really down one day, and you get these experts on there that tell you why. And it's like, okay, is this even cause and effect? I was kind of observing the other day, and the stock market had been down a little bit in the morning, and then the Queen died, and it was announced that she died, and the stock market went up. Now, if I had gotten on television and started saying, you know, if the Queen dies, the stock market's going to go up, people would have probably chastised me, and rightfully so. There's really no cause and effect there. I don't know what the cause was, what the effect was. It just, something was happening there. And these experts in life that want to explain everything and tell you that they know this happened because of this and this and this, and if you'd only followed my advice, it would have been even better. And you've got experts on every side that can tell you that. And this guy that was considered, according to God, the wisest person on earth, Solomon, as he writes Ecclesiastes, and this wise man looks and he says, yeah, I've watched how hard people try to work. They work so hard, they don't even know what they're doing. And then I see that God's doing all of this stuff. Whether they're working or not, God's going to be doing what God's going to be doing. And people can try to describe, yeah, you know, I pulled myself up by my own bootstraps and I worked so hard and I did all this. I built all this. And more often than not, if you just look a tiny little bit below the surface of that, It's like, yeah, you did all that, and you had a government grant, and your aunt or your cousin or somebody decided to give you a hand up and a handout, and somebody else helped you, and then you had a support system with your spouse and your children, and you know what? You didn't do that by yourself. You don't have to look very hard to find that these people that think they're self-made really are not. They can try to explain to the world how they got where they are and how it's all because of how wonderful they are. And ultimately, it's like, you know, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. So when good things are happening in our lives, I don't want to take credit for that. It's like, thank you, Lord. You know what? That fire stayed about a mile away from Skycomish. I can't take any credit for that. None of the firefighters can take credit for that. Firefighters went up there, they saw fire, they thought it wasn't huge, and they thought they'd be able to put a dent in it, and circumstances changed so fast they had to bail. And when fire starts traveling downhill, and the road is there, and that's your only way of escape, you have to make a decision. Do we want to die here, or do we want to move? You know, and I think they made the right decision. And then there was a lot of observation and planning, and it's like, okay, now we're in defensive mode. And okay, how do we make sure that there's no harm done to human lives? And then to structures next. And you know, they set priorities and they followed through on the plan. And you know what? If it rains really hard today, praise God. That little bit of rain we got, praise God. The fact that the wind started to die down a little bit, praise God. You know what? I've watched these wildfires throughout the years, and very few of them anybody could say humans put out. Once they've gotten out of control, you almost always wait until a weather event or something takes place. Things change, circumstances around them, you know, the dew point changes. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that happens that makes that fuel stop burning. And yes, you can make an effort and you can try to cut lines and do this and that and say, okay, we've got it contained. You know how you got it contained? The wind stopped blowing it. And you were able to get in front of it and cut a road. You know how you got it contained? The rain came and put some of it down. And that's the reality of these wildfires. And you know, God is good all the time. We've got to recognize that we don't understand. And we can watch and look and hope, but you know, when you get a notice on your phone that says there's danger, we have responsibility to do something with that. We can ignore it. We can disbelieve it. There was a notice went out yesterday to a large area saying level 3 evacuation, everybody has to get out. Well, it was sent to the wrong people. Okay. And anybody that was in those areas, they're like, oh no. And thankfully they did a backup notice that said, whoops, this was only meant for this area.
I'm glad they did the rescind, yeah. Because I was ready to go.
You're ready to bug out, yeah. And it's like, that's one of those things that you know, we have to use common sense, but we also have to listen to, you know, the weather service, NOAA and all these people, they knew last Wednesday that there was going to be a red flag event that was potentially a problem. And they warned. It's like, shouldn't be any flame, shouldn't be any fire. Well, somebody didn't listen to that, and we got this mess. So, you know, it's like, we have to trust that God is going to be in control of all this. Was God surprised by this fire? I don't think so. In Proverbs again, chapter 16, verse 9, in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. How many of us yesterday and today had different life than we had planned on Friday? You know, I don't think any of us woke up thinking, you know, this is what we're going to be doing today. We're going to be running around and helping here and here and here and doing this. But, you know, God establishes the steps. And if we listen to God and don't fight Him, it's not a burden. He's with us. He goes before us. Proverbs 19, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. God's never saying don't put out effort. He doesn't tell us don't plan. But He does tell us, yeah, His will is going to be what determines the outcome. And so Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with your whole heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Most of us have some understanding. There's nothing wrong with having understanding. Scripture teaches us to gain understanding. But if you trust just your own understanding, you're going to go astray. You're going to find ways to mess up your life and your family's life and your friends and everyone else. But in all your ways, submit to Him. He'll make your path straight. I love that the school was open yesterday, ready to take in evacuees. And we have a community that said, well, yeah, that'd be fine if you want to sleep over there on a cot, or you could have a bed. And they were able to close the school down and not have to take in evacuees because there were enough people in the community that took people in and took care of them. And I love that about this community. It's like, yay God. You've placed on people's hearts. And even a tragic event like what's happened with Joanna made a house available for a lot of her family members that needed a place last night that came up from Grotto. So it's like, you know, all of these things work out. I mean, and I'm not saying that's, you know, ultimately what we would have wanted. But God has a purpose, and if we submit to Him, we'll be able to work with Him rather than against Him and let His plans prevail. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Help us to follow you with our whole heart, mind, soul, purpose, strength, all of our beings. Your holy name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.